I want to start a series this morning. Put up that PowerPoint slide a minute. Can y'all read that? Jesus is better. I probably could have used, a little better English, but I want you to remember Jesus is better. Amen? Let's pray a minute. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And everything that does for us. Thank you that you call us friend. Lord, minister to our hearts. Use me as your vessel and pour out into this building to each one of our hearts. We give you praise that we can meet like this. Talk about your word. Talk about you. Lord, thank you for saving our souls, delivering us, healing our bodies, ministering to us. Blessing us. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 20. Good to see every one of you. Amen. Amen. Holler when you're there. Luke 7, verse 20. You there? Okay. Reading out of the New King James Version, it says, "When the men had come to him, they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus. He was the forerunner of the Messiah who was to come. We know that Jesus was the Messiah that John preached about. In fact, Isaiah prophesied about him in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." That's Jesus. So if we look back at our opening scripture, Luke chapter 7, verse 20, the background of this is that John the Baptist was imprisoned. He was about to be beheaded by the king, and he sent his disciples to Jesus. We know that in the Word there are multiple prophecies about John the Baptist, that he would be the one who would introduce Jesus as the Messiah and as the Christ to the world. However, in this imprisonment, when John may have been at the point of despair, he sends two of his followers out on a mission. They were to find out if Jesus was the real deal or not. Is Jesus the real deal or not? John had been telling the world that Jesus the Christ was coming. He had literally spent his entire life, his whole ministry, calling for people to repent of their sins and pointing them to the one who would come after him. The one who was greater than himself, the one who would take away the sins of the world. But at the end of John's life, behind these prison walls, arose a question. John was probably thinking, was it worth it all? Was it worth it all? Was it all for nothing? Everything he did, and now he's facing death. All the preaching, all the witnessing, his life's work spent in the service of God. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? So the real question John wanted answered was simply, is Jesus better? Is Jesus better? Is Jesus better than John's baptism? Is he better than the prophets before him? Is he better than the others that God would send to change the world? Is he better than the angels? Is he better than anything the world has ever seen? John told his disciples to go and find out if he is the one we have been looking for, or should we look for another? Should we look for another? As we live every day in this world of ours, we could ask the same question. Because lives need to be changed. People need to be delivered. Relationships need to be mended. Families need to be healed. Souls need to be saved. Many are searching to discover if the God they have encountered is real or not. They want to know if this Jesus we talk about so much is the one that can put families back together. Is he the one who can deliver people from bad habits that are slowly destroying their life? And is what they have heard and been taught real or not? The questions are out there. That's why believers, it's so important that our witness to the world is genuine and truthful. The world is looking for something different, something unlike anything they've ever experienced. Brothers and sisters, if our faith is as helpless and hopeless as other religions and belief systems in the world, then what do we really have to offer someone who is in desperate need of God in their life? Let's go back to Luke chapter 7 and look at verse 20 and 21. When the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And that very hour he cured many infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. It's interesting to me that when John's followers arrived, asking if Jesus was the real deal or not, Jesus was busy healing and delivering and setting people free from the stuff that was destroying their life. I wonder sometimes what people who are looking for the real deal find when they come to Turning Point. I wonder if they find people's lives being healed, people being set free, or do they just see more of the world? Do they find a group of people who are struggling to get along? Do they discover folks who are so concerned about their personal lives that they won't help the church or to reach out to someone in need? These are significant questions that we as a church need to address. What are the imprisoned going to find when they come to us? Could it be more of what they already have? Because if what we have is not better than what they already have, they will simply seek elsewhere. But everyone that walks through the doors of Turning Point Church is just like you and me. In order to survive, they need Jesus. In order to have peace, they need the love of God. In order to thrive, they need the healing of God. And in order to overcome, they need the power of God. They are looking for the real God, and they're looking for His truth. Luke 7, verse 22, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Folks, Jesus' ministry was a phenomenon that the world had never experienced this before. They'd never seen anything like this. Of all the false Christs and Messiahs, of all the religions that had promised so much, nobody was capable of doing what Jesus was doing. Jesus was doing the miraculous. Jesus was offering what no one else could. Jesus was fulfilling the dreams and aspirations of the hopeless and the helpless. So my question is still, what will people find when they come to Turning Point Church? Will they find world changers? Will they find way makers? Will they find believers living the truth of God's Word? Actually living what they say they believe? Luke 7, verse 23, And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Jesus may have made this statement because John the Baptist's ministry was a ministry of repentance, calling for men to repent. It wasn't the full gospel. However, John's lifelong work was all he knew, and he was faithful to it. But again, it was not all of God's plan. Jesus didn't want John to be offended because Jesus' ministry was greater. That's why Jesus told them. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have life abundantly. Jesus was assuring them that he had come not only to fulfill the prophecies and the preachings of John the Baptist, but he had come to go beyond that by offering life more abundant to anyone who would make him, the Son of God, their Lord and Savior. Amen? Excuse me a minute while I get a sip of water. Y'all take a breath. Now, what would the Apostle Paul have to say about Jesus and you and I living in the world? Even though the world promises pleasures, Paul said in Hebrews, assuming that he wrote Hebrews, he said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, the passing pleasures of sin. Now, I'm almost assured that Paul's life and ministry was not just a time of suffering. I'm sure there was good times as well as bad times. But there were times when to be a witness and preacher of the gospel, Paul had chosen to suffer through the negative consequences of ministry rather than to temporarily enjoy what he referred to as the pleasures of sin. Brothers and sisters, we all have choices to make in regard to our life and our walk with God. We can either do everything the world wants us to do, or we can be willing to suffer or restrict our involvement so that our witness to others is not lost. Paul admitted there is pleasure in sin. He said it, there's pleasure in sin. And no doubt there are some things that your flesh and my flesh would like to do. But as Paul stated, these pleasures are only for a season. In other words, they won't last very long. They're fleeting. So sin may make you feel good for a little while, but then the pain comes. And folks, this is the devil's trap. Amen? The hurt is obvious. The relationships are broken. The family is separated. The financial ruin. The healthy body deteriorating. The physical and mental collapse. And the witness for God is destroyed. Now, folks, sometimes we find ourselves amidst the pain and ruin of sin, and then we attempt to help ourselves by addressing the problem. I got a problem. I need to fix it. But in doing so, we often discovered that what we considered to be our problem was not the real problem at all. It's very possible that what you are struggling with goes much deeper than what you see on the surface. The resolution you perceived may not be the resolution you need. You may be struggling with addictions or anger issues, emotional or spiritual pain, but what you don't realize is that it is quite possible that these individual problems may not be the true source of all your difficulties. There are a host of things that individually or together may cause your destructive behavior. Childhood wounds that have never been healed. Disappointments in life that have never been resolved. Mistakes and sins which we've never forgiven ourselves. Abuse by others, and we've refused to forgive. When this happens, we will cover up our disillusionment with those things that appear inviting. We assume that this will take care of the problem. Surely it will. We look to money, to drugs, to alcohol, to sex, to food, to success, to popularity, and worldliness. All these things we look to for help. Now, all of those four mentioned things can easily become an outlet for some inner pain. But they're not the real source of the problem. They're not it. They only produce more problems. It's true that some of these in moderation are acceptable and even necessary. But when they're used for this kind of cover-up, it causes pain. They cause pain. Not only they become an obsession or a fixation. And folks, anything that you're obsessed with, anything you're fixated on, is generally becomes your way of life. Amen? Amen? And you create your little religion because of it. Amen. Your individual religion. And it becomes your way of dealing with problems. Your way. So the question that people want answered is this. Is the Jesus that we worship and we talk about better than what we already have? Is he better? Is he better? better than what the world has to offer? Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Brothers and sisters, are we living the abundant life? Is our life what Peter described in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Brothers and sisters, I choose the abundant life. Amen. I choose the abundant life. Because where I came from made me spiritually sick. Where I came from was destroying my soul. Where I came from made my life dirty and unfulfilled. I'm not going back to that. I'm not. I'm looking for the Jesus who is better than all the stuff I used as a crutch. Amen? I choose the blessed life because of my relationship with Jesus. Amen? I choose to live according to His Word and depend upon His grace. Hallelujah. How about you? How about you? Together, let's get a hold of something better. Better than the stuff that we use as a crutch that creates so much trouble in our life. Stuff that keeps us feeling guilty and prevents us from living the truth. John 10, verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In other words, Jesus promised that what He had to offer was better. Better. The Spirit that He would give us to empower us, to teach us, to lead us, to comfort us is far better than any form of help we could ever find in this old world. The joy and fellowship with Jesus is far better than the fellowship with the masses. The grace and mercy of God is far better than the condemnation and deception of the world. The promise of eternal salvation is far better than the life that this world offers. So as John said in his prison cell, having spent his life preaching about the one who would come after him, he's now waiting for an answer. Is Jesus better? Is Jesus better? Luke 7:22, Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. They tell John, don't worry about it, John. Don't worry about it. And don't be offended by what Jesus is doing. It's God's plan. He is better. He's better than all the lies and deception of the enemy. He's better than the sin that has destroyed so many souls. Don't be ashamed of him, John. He's the real deal. He's the real deal. Then the disciples tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Amen? What have you been preaching and prophesying has come. What you said has come. It's here. What the world has needed is here now. It was all for a reason, John. It's all for a purpose. Your life and ministry was not spent in vain, because Jesus is here. And the gospel message is now complete, so Jesus is better. Amen. Jesus is better. Hallelujah. Many cannot receive because they are somehow stuck in the world. But Jesus is really better. The devil seeks to tempt man with various ideas, plans, and stuff, trying to satisfy us. He wants to ultimately distract us and keep us from the Lord. Often the devil will use such common ploys such as popularity, money, jobs, success, a new relationship, trying to convince us that these things will make our life better. Brothers and sisters, let us understand one thing today. Only Jesus will satisfy the emptiness of our soul. Amen. Only Jesus. What the enemy pushes as satisfaction and gratification is short-lived, leaving you wounded and destroyed. The psalmist spoke of the goodness of God in Psalm 145, 16. He said, "You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." Only God could do that, folks. Only God could do that. Seek after the things of God. In Him you will find your satisfaction and fulfillment. Jesus is better. Now listen. He won't leave your home destroyed. He won't leave you with a body that's ravaged by addiction. He won't leave you helplessly bound in sin and perversion, because Jesus loves, Jesus saves, Jesus delivers, and Jesus rescues. Jesus gives life, and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. How many here this morning know that Jesus is better? Is there someone here whose life has been changed by Him? Is there someone here who has been delivered by the power of His name? Jesus is better. What you're looking for is here. What your family needs now is here. What you personally need is here. What you need for salvation is here. And what you need to bring real peace and genuine fulfillment is here. It's all right here, because Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is better. Come to Jesus today, because Jesus is better. Amen. Amen. I touched on some spots this morning that I don't want us to leave without praying over those things. If you need prayer this morning, I want you to come. Angela, you need to come, please. Now, Now, I'm thankful for one, but I believe there's many that need prayer this morning.
Pastor Jerry, the girl, I'm taking care of Jacob. She's really going through drug withdrawals, and she's really difficult.
Okay.